This is the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome to Eat Great, Live Well Radio, your trusted source for the information you need to take control of your health and your life. No complicated medical speak, just straight talk about eating healthier without giving up the foods you love. Now, here's the host of Eat Great, Live Well Radio, food psychology coach and best-selling author, Janelle McCauley.
Hi, and welcome to Eat Great, Live Well Radio. I'm Janelle McCauley, and I'm glad you decided to join us today. We've got a great show planned for you. We're doing something different this week. I'm going to be talking about some of the biggest myths and why there's some science behind them, but they really are, for the most part, not true, yet we really let them guide what we choose to do. You know, I'm also really excited because I just got back from a dietitian symposium, and I spent 4 days listening to all sorts of amazing experts. I heard Cheryl Forberg, who's the dietitian behind the camera on The Biggest Loser. We had a number of talks on information overload. I learned some great cooking and food pairing techniques from some real experts in the kitchen and who really understand nutrition. We had a session on diabetes and weight loss, on shopping, on really making healthy choices, and a great conversation actually on the last morning on GMOs and genetically engineered food and learning the difference. So over the next few weeks, we're going to be sharing more about some of those topics with you. And we've got some of the panelists who were speaking at this conference actually are going to be here with us telling you more about some of those topics. So I'm really excited. So make sure you look at upcoming shows and join us. So I want to invite you to go to eatgreatlivewellradio.com and download our free ebook, Overcoming Portion Distortion, because we've talked to a number of clients and people we've worked with, and one of the biggest challenges is knowing how much you're eating and knowing what you should be eating. So go to eatgreatlivewellradio.com and click on the link to get our Overcoming Portion Distortion ebook. It's free. It's going to give you a lot of great information, and it's really going to challenge the way you think. So download it, enjoy it, and let us know what you think. So grab a pen and paper and your favorite beverage, and let's get started with some of the biggest myths. You know, behind every myth, there's a kernel of truth, and today we're really going to try to separate some of the science from some of the myth. So why do some nutrition myths die and others keep bouncing back, even when there's not a lot of evidence behind them? You know, let's face it, myths and misinformation are much more seductive than the truth. A balanced diet, enough sleep, and regular exercise are really the best way to fight disease and stay healthy. But it just isn't as interesting as all the myths and all the conversation that's going on. The most persistent nutrition myths are those that contain at least a kernel of truth. And some myths really do help us get to the real wisdom that actually helps our health. We're going to take a hard look at some of the science behind some of the topics that are out there. And I'd be interested to know what you think, so be sure to share your thoughts with us. The first one we're going to look at is eggs are bad for your health. Now, eggs do contain a substantial amount of cholesterol in their yolks. You often hear, just eat the egg white. They have about 211 milligrams for a large egg. And yes, cholesterol is the fatty stuff in our blood that contributes to clogged arteries and heart attacks. But labeling eggs overall bad for your heart is really connecting the wrong dots. You know, studies show that most healthy people can eat an egg a day without problems. For most of us, the cholesterol we eat in eggs or any other food doesn't have a huge impact on raising our blood cholesterol. The body simply compensates by manufacturing less cholesterol itself. Now, in some people, the body's going to manufacture a lot more than it needs, and there's not a lot you can do about it. The chief heart disease culprits are saturated and trans fats, which have a much greater impact on raising blood cholesterol. A large egg, so think of it this way, a large egg contains 2 grams of saturated fat, which is 10% of the daily value, and it has no trans fat. Now, that doesn't mean that you can go have a 3-egg omelet. You want to stop and think about what the American Heart Association guidelines recommend. They say to limit your cholesterol intake to less than 300 milligrams, really less than 200 if you have a history of heart disease in your family or diabetes. If you do the math, that works out to less than an egg a day or 2 to 3 eggs a week. So eggs can fit into a healthy diet. You just want to pay attention to what you're eating. And you're going to see that's going to be the theme of all of the things that we're talking about today, is paying attention to what you're eating. You know, one of the second myths is that high fructose corn syrup is worse for you than sugar. Now, I am not saying that you should go out and eat high fructose corn syrup or HFCS. So I'm not saying that at all. But I just want you to understand that the real thing we want to pay attention to is the sugar that we're eating. You know, high fructose corn syrup was created to mimic sucrose, which is table sugar. So its composition is almost identical. It's 55% fructose and 45% glucose. And with sucrose, the ratio is 50-50. But calorie-wise, it's a dead ringer. You know, studies that compare the effects of high fructose corn syrup with other sweeteners and high fructose corn syrup and sucrose have very similar effects on blood levels of insulin, glucose, triglycerides, and satiety hormones. In short, it seems to be no worse, but it's not better. But what you really want to do is pay attention to sugar. This morning, I was at a meeting, and the hostess got healthy treats, or what they thought were healthy treats. They had fruit. They had a couple little tiny pastries, which weren't too bad. And they also had some yogurt. The label on the yogurt said it was healthy. They got it at a health food store. So I turned it over and looked at the label. It was actually fruit at the bottom yogurt, which is higher in sugar, but it had 25 grams of sugar, which is over 6 teaspoons. And that's way more than we should be eating. So while she thought she was getting really healthy food for us, it's really important to look at the labels so that you know what you're getting. In comparison, I mean, I like yogurt, so we found one that we get that has about 6 grams of sugar. It's much better. It's about a third of the calories, and it's the same size serving. So make sure that you're reading the labels. Look at sugar when you're looking at the ingredients. And again, you want to try to avoid high fructose corn syrup, but know that that's not the only thing that you should be avoiding. You should really be avoiding sugar. You know, the Heart Association recommends that women have no more than 100 calories a day in added sugars. That's 6 teaspoons. So had I had that yogurt this morning, I would have had my maximum amount of sugar just in one item, and that's not including anything else. And for men, it's 150 calories or 9 teaspoons. Our current intake is over 300 calories a day, so we're nowhere near the goal. Just remember that 1 teaspoon of sugar equals 4 grams. So I challenge you to start reading the labels and start looking at the things that you're eating and the choices that you're making. You know, here's another myth that I think is really an interesting one, that carbohydrates make you fat. I think people don't really understand carbohydrates. You know, the Atkins Diet Revolution, which was first published in 1972, really brought this topic to the forefront. And it's really, I think people just don't understand what carbohydrates are. I think people are just eating too many calories in general. They think if they're avoiding one food group, they can actually eat more of another food group. You know, there's no question that loading up on sugary or refined carbohydrate-rich foods, such as white bread, pasta, and donuts, can raise your risk of developing health problems like heart disease and diabetes. But if you cut out so-called good carbs, such as whole grains, beans, fruits, vegetables, you're missing out on your body's main source of fuel, as well as vital nutrients and fiber. So you really want to take a step back and look at the type of carbohydrates that you're eating. You know, there's been a number of studies done on carbohydrates with low-fat diets and other approaches to losing weight. And, you know, what they find, and this was heard over and over through the dietitian's presentations when we were there this last week, is that in the short run, almost any diet will do. That's because you're limiting your choices, which helps you lose weight initially. But what they found 6 months, 12 months, 2-3 years out is that almost all of the diets were exactly the same in the weight loss unless people started to change their habits, unless they started to really pay attention and understand what they were doing. And that's why our Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program has gotten great press, because we really teach people how to change what they're eating, how to make healthier choices, and how to understand the difference between physical and emotional hunger. What it does is it really gets you to eat less of the wrong foods and more of the right foods, because what you're doing is you're eating to fuel your body. You're not eating to feed your emotions. So it's really important to not just cut out a whole food group, but to really look at the choices you're making and eat nutrient-dense foods, foods that really will fill you up, any combinations of foods that really are healthier. We're going to go ahead and take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about raw food, because I know there's a lot of questions on that. So this is Janelle McCauley, Eat Great, Live Well Radio.
Do you struggle with your weight or your health? Do you wish you had more energy to do the things you really want to do? Are you tired of counting calories and fad dieting? Do you want to eat your favorite foods and not feel guilty? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then the Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program is the answer for you. Being healthy isn't about fad dieting, feeling guilty, or eating nothing but tofu and wheatgrass. It's about making small, healthy choices that add up over time to create life-changing transformation for you and your family. The Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program will show you how easy it is to be healthy, happy, and well-fed all at the same time. Visit eatgreatlivewell.com for more information or to enroll in this life-changing program. You deserve to both eat great and live well. Check it out today at eatgreatlivewell.com.
I'm looking for a certain kind of woman, and I think you know her. She's an entrepreneur that is highly connected, successful, significant in her own industry, and considered the go-to woman in her community. She's received so much from so many women in business, she's ready to give back to others on their journey, lifting as she climbs. Hi, this is Sandra Yancey, and I'm the founder and CEO of eWomen Network. I'm looking to connect with the woman I've just described who lives in your community so that we might have a conversation about how eWomen Network's proven success system can provide her a platform to elevate her success and ability to support women in business. Our international community of managing directors are influencing the speed of success for women in business around the world. If that sounds like something that you want to be part of or know someone we should talk with, send an email to managingdirector@ewomennetwork.com. That's managingdirector@ewomennetwork.com, and let's start the conversation.
You're listening to Janelle McCauley on the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome back to Eat Great, Live Well Radio. This is Janelle McCauley. Before the break, we were talking about sugar and high fructose corn syrup, and we were also talking about carbohydrates. And now I want to shift, and I want to talk about the myth of a raw food diet providing enzymes that are essential to healthy digestion. You know, there's no argument that raw foods are healthy. Raw foods are unprocessed, so nothing's taken away. You just don't get the nutrient loss that comes with cooking. You know, but the claim that some raw food advocates say that eating raw food boosts digestion by preserving the vital plant enzymes, just from what's people say, doesn't hold water. These enzymes are made for the survival of the plants. For human health, they aren't essential. You know, it's true that heating a food above 118 degrees inactivates plant enzymes, since enzymes are proteins and proteins denature. They break down with heat. That's what you really want to be concerned about. Heating it up too much. But these enzymes are denatured and inactivated actually when they reach your stomach. Your stomach acids are designed to break down proteins very efficiently. You know, what about the claim by some raw foodists that our bodies have a limited supply of enzymes and that by eating more foods with their enzymes intact, we'll be able to spare our bodies from using up their supply? You know, in reality, you just don't have a finite number of enzymes. You're going to continue to make them as long as you live. So the bottom line is, if you can eat more raw food, absolutely. And if you can cook it a little bit less, that's great. But you don't have to eat just raw food to eat a healthy diet. You know, some people say, this is another myth, and it's really interesting. Some people say that they have a weight problem because they eat foods like wheat or dairy that their body can't process. You know, and that's interesting because the inability to process foods would mean that the foods aren't metabolized and the calories wouldn't be absorbed. If that was true, that would lead to weight loss, not weight gain. Think about it. You know, this is an example how the term food allergy has been misused and distorted to be associated with anything unpleasant around eating. There's debates out there as to whether, you know, a food allergy can cause weight gain. It can certainly cause a lot of discomfort. It can cause gas and bloating. But really, it's more about the choices that you're making. You know, certainly cutting out categories of food will probably help you lose weight, but that's simply because you're taking all the choices off the table. You don't have as many foods to choose from, so you're not eating as much. So think about that the next time you blame a food allergy for gaining weight. You know, I was actually surprised about this one at the dietitian's conference because there's been a lot of talk about microwaving, you know, that the radiation from microwaves and heating the food creates dangerous compounds. One of the reasons you hear that is we often heat food in plastic containers, And you don't want to be microwaving your food in plastic containers, because that's really where you can have some challenges. But what it's doing is the food is heating up, and if you don't heat it up too much, it's really not a bad way to heat your food. And, you know, you take personal preference as far as whether you use it or not. I know some people are really adamant about not using it, but microwave cooking, according to some experts, is really no different from any other cooking method that applies heat to food. It's just really, the biggest issue comes when you're using plastic that can leach compounds into your food. So you really want to take care of using only microwave-safe containers or using something that's not going to get into your food when you're heating it up. It's not the heating itself. The next myth has to do with craving certain foods because you're deficient in one of the nutrients they provide. I thought this one myth was really interesting, and it really goes back to people craving foods because they tend to be satisfying emotional needs. And there's some great studies out on that. Cravings tend to occur, think about this, when the diet is restricted or boring, or when you know you can't have something. If someone tells you you can't have a particular food that is the food that you want, and you want it, it's all you think about until you grab it. Think about it. If someone tells you you can't have chocolate, what do you think about? You think about chocolate, and eventually you're going to grab it. You know, there is one nutrient deficiency that's clearly associated with cravings, and it was in humans, and that's iron. But instead of longing for iron-rich foods like steak, people that are really severely deficient in iron tend to crave things like ice cubes. So it's, they're not really craving what they're missing. They're craving something that is like a substitute. Researchers don't know what causes this strange and rare condition, but some suspect that the lack of iron might somehow affect the body's appetite. But think about it the next time you're craving a food. The most commonly craved foods tend to be fatty and high in calories. That's why you might crave a cheeseburger. It's not because you're deficient in iron or protein. It's because you want that high fat, really satiating food on your tongue. You want to taste that. And it's interesting because when we were at this conference, one of the snacks that we had was half an avocado with some tuna. And I really paid attention to it because I do so much with food and healthy choices. I really pay attention to foods that I don't normally eat on a regular basis or foods that I eat differently. And what I realized is it really filled me up, and it was very satisfying. And what I realized was it was the avocado. It was the richness in the avocado. So I'm getting my healthy fat in a way that's very satisfying and very filling. So think about that. When you start to make choices and you're eating new foods, pay attention to how they taste, how they fill you up, and how you feel after you eat them. It really will change the way you start to make choices. We're going to take another break, and when we come back, I'm going to talk about grazing and whether you should eat your meals all at once or take how much time should be between eating. And then we're going to talk about a gluten-free diet, because there's a lot of talk on that. This is Janelle McCauley with Eat Great, Live Well Radio.
Do you struggle with your weight or your health? Do you wish you had more energy to do the things you really want to do? Are you tired of counting calories and fad dieting? Do you want to eat your favorite foods and not feel guilty? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then the Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program is the answer for you. Being healthy isn't about fad dieting, feeling guilty, or eating nothing but tofu and wheatgrass. It's about making small, healthy choices that add up over time to create life-changing transformation for you and your family. The Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program will show you how easy it is to be healthy, happy, and well-fed all at the same time. Visit eatgreatlivewell.com for more information or to enroll in this life-changing program. You deserve to both eat great and live well. Check it out today at eatgreatlivewell.com.
This is the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome back to Eat Great, Live Well Radio. This is Janelle McCauley. Before the break, we were talking about microwaving your food and losing nutrients, and we were also talking about craving certain foods. I want to address another myth that's out there, is that grazing on mini meals through, when I say mini, I mean M-I-N-I, not M-A-N-Y, mini meals throughout the day keeps your metabolism stoked and helps you control weight better than eating fewer and large meals. Now, for some people, that could be true because when people don't eat and have long times between meals, they tend to get more hungry. So what you do is you tend to eat more when you do eat. You know, our metabolisms rev up slightly each time we eat as our bodies process what we've consumed. So having many, mini meals instead of fewer large ones, we shift our metabolism into a higher gear more often. So it does burn a few more calories, but the calorie difference is so small that it really doesn't make a big difference. You know, that said, snacking between meals may help some dieters by keeping them from getting overly hungry and eating too many calories once they finally do sit down. But the bottom line is, choose the eating pattern that works best for you. You know, oftentimes we try to follow an eating pattern because an expert said to do it. And what we need to do is learn to listen to our bodies, learn to understand what your body needs. I think I've talked about it before. For me, and I was actually telling someone this morning, I know that crunchy foods satisfy me much more than soft foods. So, for example, eating yogurt is okay. Eating yogurt with a little bit of a healthy granola in it really satisfies me and fills me up much more. So I know that about me. So when I make a choice, I make it one that is both healthy and works for me. And by doing that, it causes me to reach out for a snack much less often. If I just have the yogurt by itself, it seems like a half an hour later, I'm in the kitchen looking or grazing. And I know that about me, so I set myself up for success. So I'm going to challenge you, if you're going and looking for something else to eat 30 minutes after you just finished a meal, look at what you were missing and make sure that you're making the right choices for you. You know, I love this myth that anyone can benefit from a gluten-free diet. It can give you more energy. You know, there's a lot of information about gluten-free diets out there. And we actually did a great show a little while back with Jennifer Fugo. She's a gluten-free expert. So if you want to learn more about that topic, I encourage you to go listen to that show and connect with Jen, because she truly is an expert on that topic. You know, there's more and more gluten-free products out there cropping up in the supermarket. And it's easy to think their benefits might stretch beyond the people they were intended for. And those were the people with celiac disease and gluten intolerance. Celiac disease is an autoimmune condition in which the body can't digest gluten, a protein found in wheat, rye, and barley. It's marked by damage to the small intestine that leads to deficiencies because nutrients can't be absorbed. You know, a blood test is usually used to diagnose celiac disease. Gluten intolerance, on the other hand, can be often diagnosed with abdominal distress and sometimes fatigue. You know, and it regularly happens after consuming gluten, and celiac disease has been ruled out. If you don't have a medical reason for following a gluten-free diet, it probably has no benefit. Now, you might find that when you cut out gluten, you actually do feel better, but that could be because you're cutting down on the food that you're eating, and you're eating more fresh vegetables and fruits and more raw foods. So it's not necessarily because you've cut out on gluten. It also might mean that you're eating less gluten so that your body is getting just a little bit, which it can easily tolerate. Oftentimes, too, one of the issues is that gluten products have been genetically modified, so it could be that there's something in that process that affects you and your body. So it's really about, again, listening to your body and not just saying, this is a current, everybody says I need to do this, I need to give up gluten, and just giving up gluten. Now, it won't hurt you if you give it up, but you may not have to do it, and it could be more expensive if you don't have to get gluten-free products or if you don't have to cut out certain food groups. It certainly gives you a lot more options, but do what works best for you. But again, be sure to listen to Jennifer Fugo's interview that we did a little while back on gluten-free products and how to find gluten in food if you have any question about whether that's something that's appropriate for you. You know, I want to spend the rest of our time talking about how you can set yourself up for success in eating a healthy diet. And you can see some trends over some of the things that we talked about. It's choosing the right eating pattern for you. It's knowing why you're eating or not eating a certain type of food. It's listening to your body. It's knowing what satisfies you. It's knowing whether it's physical or emotional hunger. And those are a lot of things that we address in our Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program. But what I want to do is talk just a little bit and give you some healthy eating tips to set yourself up for success. You know, it really is within your control. And a couple things that you can do is help prepare more of your meals. And what we suggest is that you have some favorites. And one of the things that I love to share with families is get everyone to pick two of their favorites, put them on 3x5 cards, and make sure that you, when you go to the grocery store, get the ingredients for those. Keep them in the pantry, keep them in the freezer. And that way, when it gets close to dinner time and you don't know what you're going to make, instead of going out and doing a grab and go, you can randomly pick one of the cards or let each family member have a night where they get to pick their favorite meal. And that, and you know you've got everything in the house, so you're setting yourself up for success and not having to say, what's for dinner? There's nothing worse than a mom having to hear, what's for dinner? So have your healthy list of favorites that you can choose from. You know, we talked a little bit about making healthy choices, making sure that you're reading the labels, cutting out extra sugar, limiting your sugar, eating more fresh fruits and vegetables. And we've talked before on a past show about frozen vegetables. So if something's not fresh, go to frozen because they're frozen really quickly, so they maintain their nutrients and their values. You know, also keep it simple. Sometimes we tend to get really complicated in what we're doing. Pick foods by colors when you go to the produce section. pick different colors and add a little bit. In the morning with our eggs, we add a little bit of a couple like red and orange bell pepper in with our eggs. Add some tomato, make some fresh salsa. We took and put a couple of avocados in with some already made salsa and made our own guacamole. Really simple, really easy, quick, and it's very affordable to do that. Make sure that you're reading labels and you want to look at serving size. Remember, we talked at the beginning about our free ebook, Overcoming Portion Distortion. Make sure that you're looking at the serving size. Just because it's one package doesn't mean it's one serving. We have a snack that we got for something, and I thought it was one serving because it looks like it's a serving size. It's a small package. It fits in my hand. And guess what? When I read the label, it's three servings. Instead of being 150 calories, it's 450 calories if you eat the whole little bag. That's not probably the best thing to eat for a snack. So make sure you're looking at serving size, calories per serving, look at the amount of fat in it, the type of fat, look at sugar, and look at sodium. If you start by doing those things, you'll automatically be eating healthier. And focus on how you feel after you eat. It's really important to understand your emotions before you eat and your emotions after you eat. Did it satisfy you? Also, make sure that you only eat till you're about 80% full, because once you stop eating, your body's still processing the food, so you're continuing to fill up. If you wait until you're full, you're really going to have overeaten. So pay attention to how your body feels. And I really challenge you to think about, when you're reaching for food, is it emotional hunger or physical hunger? Make sure you know what your personal physical hunger feels like. Is your stomach growling? Do you feel really fatigued? Do you feel really lethargic? Or are you just looking for food because you really should be doing something different and you don't want to do it? You're procrastinating. That used to be one of my favorites. I wouldn't want to do something, or I wouldn't know where to start, so I'd go out and rummage through the pantry instead. I'm aware of that, so when I start to do that, I take a step back and say, okay, what should I be doing? And that's what I focus on, because food is going to take place for a short term, but in the long term, it's not going to solve anything. And make sure that you're drinking plenty of water. That's really important, because that flushes out the toxins and the waste in your body. It keeps you hydrated. Did you know when you're dehydrated, you can actually feel like you're hungry? So drink a big glass of water before you decide whether or not you're going to eat something. So we're going to go ahead and take our final break. And when we come back, I'm going to share a few more tips how you can set yourself up for success in healthy eating. This is Janelle McCauley with Eat Great, Live Well Radio.
Do you struggle with your weight or your health? Do you wish you had more energy to do the things you really want to do? Are you tired of counting calories and fad dieting? Do you want to eat your favorite foods and not feel guilty? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then the Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program is the answer for you. Being healthy isn't about fad dieting, feeling guilty, or eating nothing but tofu and wheatgrass. It's about making small, healthy choices that add up over time to create life-changing transformation for you and your family. The Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program will show you how easy it is to be healthy, happy, and well-fed all at the same time. Visit eatgreatlivewell.com for more information or to enroll in this life-changing program. You deserve to both eat great and live well. Check it out today at eatgreatlivewell.com.
You're listening to Janelle McCauley on the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome back to Eat Great, Live Well Radio. This is Janelle McCauley, and today we're talking about some popular myths, and behind all myths, there's a kernel of truth. So we shared some myths and talked about what was true and why that myth is still around. And before the break, I started sharing some tips on setting yourself up for success in healthy eating. And I want to share a few more because it's really important to understand how the choices you make really help you when it comes to healthy eating. It's not because there's a lot of food choices or unhealthy choices around. It's really being aware of what your body needs and aware of how you make choices. And once you learn how to make them and you learn how food really fuels your body and gives you energy, it's going to make it so much easier for you to make healthy choices. You know, the next tip I want to share is moderation. And that's really a key to any healthy diet. But you might say, what is moderation? It really means eating only as much as your body needs to feel satisfied, not stuffed. Remember before the break, I was talking about eating till you're about 80% full. Sometimes we tend to eat until we were overstuffed. You know, that feeling where you gotta sit back, you can't do anything, you just want to nap, you can't breathe. When you've eaten that much, you've eaten too much. So really pay attention to how you feel. You should feel really good. You should have good energy. You should have just feel good about what you're doing. You should be ready to get up and go, not have to sit down and take a nap after you've just eaten a meal. Try to think of the foods that might be kind of off limits for you. And we talked about not saying you can't have certain foods, but really think about if there are any foods that once you start eating, you can't stop. I know for me, those foods are things like M&Ms, potato chips. If I'm going to eat them, what I do is I take a small portion, put it on my plate, and then put the food away. What I used to do was just leave the bag out. So what you do, it's really easy to go by and grab a second handful or a third handful and do that without even thinking, because they're the kind of foods that once you start eating, you just can't stop. You know, also think about eating in smaller portions. You know, our serving sizes have really ballooned. They've gotten much bigger. There's a lot more supersizing that we do now. But think about what an average serving is. It is like a serving size of fish or chicken or meat is really like the size of a deck of cards or a half a cup of mashed potatoes or rice. Which, you know, think about that. It's like the size of a traditional light bulb. So you don't have to eat a lot to get the nutrients and get the satisfaction. And take your time. Make sure you're taking a bite and putting your fork down. When you do, I can guarantee you will definitely eat a lot less than you eat if you just keep filling your fork, if you just keep eating and eating. The next couple healthy eating tips that I want to share with you have to do with the type of food and the decisions that you make. The first one is fill up on colorful fruits and vegetables. Fruits and vegetables are low in calories and nutrient dense, which means they're packed with vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, and fiber. Focus on eating the recommended daily minimum of 5 servings of fruits and vegetables, and it will naturally fill you up and help you cut back on unhealthy foods. A serving is a half a cup of raw fruits or vegetables, or a small apple or banana, and most of us need to at least double what we're currently eating. And try to eat a rainbow of fruits and vegetables that are deeply colored, because they have a higher concentration of vitamins, minerals, and antioxidants. Add berries to your breakfast cereals, eat fruit for dessert, snack on vegetables such as carrots, snow peas, cherry tomatoes, instead of processed foods. So when you think about greens, branch out beyond the lettuce. Go to kale, broccoli, cabbage. they're all packed with calcium and a lot of vitamins and minerals, especially A, C, E, and K. So you're going to get a whole alphabet along with the rainbow. Think about sweet vegetables, such as corn, carrots, sweet potatoes. They add a healthy sweetness to your meals and reduce your craving for sugar. And, you know, fruit is a tasty, satisfying way to fill up on fiber, vitamins, and antioxidants. Berries are cancer-fighting. Apples provide fiber. Oranges and mangoes offer vitamin C. So a lot of ways to fill up. When you go to the produce department in the grocery store, just pick different colors. Make a game of it with your kids to pick a green and an orange and a yellow fruit or vegetable. Make it fun. Involve the whole family. Eat more healthy carbs and whole grains. We talked about the myth about carbs. You know, a healthy carb includes whole grains, beans, fruits, vegetables. Healthy carbs are digested slowly. They help keep you full longer and keep your blood sugar and insulin levels stable. Unhealthy carbs, or sometimes called bad carbs, are things like white flour, refined sugar, white rice. They've been stripped of all their bran, fiber, and nutrients. They digest quickly and cause spikes in blood sugar and energy. You know, when you want that quick burst of energy, that's from often the unhealthy carbs. You want to get a slow, steady burst of energy. That'll keep you very stable. The other thing you want to do is really look at fats and the type of fats you're eating. A healthy fat is a monounsaturated fat or a polyunsaturated fat, including omega-3 and omega-6. You really want to try to reduce saturated fats and trans fats. You also want to try to reduce sugar and salt. The most important thing is do your detective work. Read your labels. Know what you're eating. Know serving size. Know how much fat, sugar, and salt you're getting. Know how many calories you're getting. And just start paying attention to what you're eating. We've got some great tips and tools on our Eat Great, Live Well website. So check it out and start eating a healthier diet. Just take one thing every day that you start eating healthier. Change one thing a week. At the end of the 52 weeks or year, you'll be healthier. You can't help but be healthier when you make a change every week. I want to thank you for being with us this week. I hope you've enjoyed some of the myths that we shared and can see how there's a kernel of truth in the myth. But for the most part, you need to think about what you can change and the choices that you can make. Don't just believe everything you hear. Look at it and determine whether it's fact versus fiction and how it applies to you. I'd like to invite all of you to go to eatgreatlivewellradio.com. Remember, I told you that I've got a special offer for you. So if you go to eatgreatlivewellradio.com, you're going to find a link to our Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program. And because you've joined us today, I'd like to offer you a special gift. I'd like to offer you 50% off of that program, which makes it an incredible price, learning a lot of information. Just put in the code EGLW50 and you'll save 50% off that. And even if you don't do anything else, check out some of our free resources. Be part of the conversation. Click on social media and share what you liked about today's episode. Share the questions that you have so we can address them in a future episode. We love giving you the facts. We love having the conversation and teaching you how to build a healthier relationship with food for yourself and your family. Share the conversation and have a great and healthy week. Bye-bye for now.
Thank you for tuning in to Eat Great, Live Well Radio, your trusted source for the information you need to take control of your health and your life.
Each week at this time, we bring you straight talk about eating healthier without giving up the foods you love. Join us next Thursday and every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on the EWN Radio Network. To get a replay of this week's show, listen to past shows, or contact Janelle, go to eatgreatlivewellradio.com. Have a great week, and remember, you can choose to eat great and live well.